If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. That's where we're going to be at this morning. I was just thinking about this. I can't believe we're here. I mean, for those of you who have been with us for a long time, man, this place looks way different. And I've heard several things like, man, this is how it should have always been, kind of a feel. And we're just really thankful and grateful for what God has done in our church. And I was actually thinking back to 6 years ago when my family showed up here at Central. And I wanted to just kind of walk this journey with you just a little bit, because some of you are new, maybe don't know everything that has happened. I mean, for me personally, obviously we all went through COVID. We showed up here. It was just a crazy moment. And then in the middle of all that, I get shingles on my head, guys. Like, I was like in my mid-30s, like, what is going on? And I don't know if it's stress or whatever. There was a time where I had to preach with a beanie on my head because it was bad, man. It was rough. I've preached up here with different braces on my arm and different places. I've had multiple surgeries because my body's falling apart. And I used to have a full head of hair, guys. Like, well, no, I just didn't. That was not true. It's always been bald. It's been bad. But it's been a lot. It's been a long journey. We decided to change our bylaws. It took us 18 months to change our bylaws and how we govern ourselves and lead ourselves for health and for growth. We jumped into a 3-year capital campaign that we're finishing this next month. We spent a year and a half on construction, and we spent all that time over in the venue. Y'all remember that? Whew, that was rough. Let's not do that again, okay? I like this place. And then I counted this week how many sermons I've preached since I've been here. 565. That's a lot of sermons. No, don't clap for that. No, don't. I'm going to clap for y'all because y'all had a deal. You've had a deal with me. It's bad. I understand. But in the middle of all that, it is brought for me personally some moments of burnout, like bad burnout. But recovery from that, because the church has been so gracious to me and helpful, and people surrounding myself, my family. And honestly, guys, it's a miracle that we're here. I can't believe we're here. But I'll say this. I feel like we're just getting started. I really do. I'm so looking forward to what is next for our church. And so to begin today's message, I just want to just take a moment and say thank you. Simple as that. I just want to say thank you so much, church, for your willingness to walk forward with me, to take a chance on me, to in the middle of some difficult times, in the middle of having to change, y'all are willing to do that together as a church. I feel so good about this place. We're so unified. I'm so thankful for God, what he has done, but I'm also thankful how y'all have taken some incredible steps of faith in the middle of this. And God has blessed us in incredible ways. In fact, this is actually how Paul starts out this letter to the church in Philippi that we're looking at today. In Philippians, he starts off, and not with instruction, but with just gratitude. He's so thankful for what they have done. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. Not some of the time, but all the time. He was saying, I'm so thankful for you. Have you ever received in the mail, like, just a random thank you note from someone? A lot of times you open that up and you're like, what's the catch? You know, starts off really nice and you're like, what do they actually want? What's their angle? And it's just a pure thank you letter for something you've done or something maybe you didn't realize you did, and it just meant a lot to them. Have you ever written a letter like that and you didn't have an agenda? You just wanted to love on someone, and you wrote that letter, and then you licked that nasty envelope that tastes terrible, and you stuck it in the mail, and that person receives that? I mean, that's what we need to be doing more. We don't do that very often. And that's what Paul does when he starts his letter to the Philippians. He doesn't jump into all of this instruction, or here's how you need to act or live or do. And no, he's like, thank you. Thank you. I'm so thankful for you. And I thank God all the time when I'm praying. What this is a deeply personal moment for Paul. This is like a pastor talking to his people. And he's saying, I thank God for you. Now, the church in Philippi was no ordinary church. It was in northern Greece in the area, it's called Macedonia. And it was the first church in Europe. And in the middle of, running through the middle of Philippi, was this ancient Roman highway back then. And so what happened is that in God's providence, the gospel, the good news of Jesus goes from this first church in Philippi, and it begins to spread to the west. In fact, it spreads to us. It's like the beginning of the message of Jesus spreading all over the world, and it started in the church in Philippi. But what made this church special was not necessarily that or where it was located. What made it special was the bond that the people had together, but also the bond they had with the church. And it reminded me of something. I saw this yesterday. How many of y'all watched the Artemis spaceship, all that stuff? Guys, I spent way too much time watching that on YouTube over this last week, watching the astronauts go through their journey. It was a 10-day journey. They went around the moon. They were the furthest human beings have ever been out in space. They got to take some incredible pictures. The last time we went around the moon was like in the 60s or 70s. I'm like, come on, America, we got to get our act together. We should be doing this all the time. And finally, we go and do that again. They make it all the way back. And I watched the splash down in the ocean. It was pretty cool. And just yesterday, the astronauts got up on the stage, and they were doing an interview, and they were talking about it. And the female astronaut's name is Christina Koch. Here's what she said. She talked about what a crew was. And in fact, what happened is before they went on their journey, a kid asked her, what is a crew? And she tried to explain, well, you're doing this something together, and you're in a ship together, and you're rowing in the same direction. And she said, you know what? I really didn't understand what a crew really is. And after going for 10 days in that tiny little capsule with those other astronauts and doing something that no human being has ever done before and surviving through all of it, she came back and here's what she said. She said, I realized something. She said, here's what a crew is. A crew is in it all the time, no matter what. A crew is moving together with the same purpose, is willing to sacrifice silently for each other. A crew gives grace and holds each other accountable. A crew has the same cares and needs. And then she ended her little moment by turning around and looking at her crew. And she said this, a crew is inescapably, beautifully, and dutifully linked together. I was thinking about a church. I mean, that's kind of what a good church is all about. And Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he's like, you guys are my crew. I'm so thankful for you. Because this group of early believers were at one point the only church that was supporting Paul as he's going throughout these missionary journeys. In fact, he talks about it later on in his letter. So this is Philippians 1. If we fast forward to Philippians chapter 4, here's what he says. He says, you Philippians, you know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. And he just pauses there. And I just want us to pause there just for a second. Just think about that. Paul is saying, look, church in Philippi, you guys are special. You were there for me when I needed you. You are my crew. And they went further than that. They didn't just support Paul. They weren't just connected to Paul, but they helped out in so many other areas because there wasn't just one church. There was churches all over the place. And one of the biggest churches was in Jerusalem. It was like the mother church. It's like the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem or something like that. I don't know. That it was like the big church, but it was struggling during that time. And the Philippian church recognized that church was really important and that church needed help. And so they sent funds, they sent people, they sent resources to make sure that church had everything it needed so the gospel could continue to be spread, even in Jerusalem where it all started. In fact, Paul talks about it. He writes another letter, not the church of Philippi in the north, but to a church in Corinth, which is in the south of Greece. And he's writing to that church, but he's talking about the church in Philippi. And here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 8. He says, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. Talking about the church in Philippi. It says, during a severe trial, they were going through it. This church in the north was having a difficult time. There's financial issues. There's relational issues. They're being persecuted. He says, during a severe trial, a wealth of generosity on their part was given. A wealth of generosity. And then they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will. They were generous even when they were struggling. And I just wanted to like highlight something. I was kind of thinking about that church, but also our church. And I realized something. I see that same spirit in you. I see that same spirit in our church. In fact, if I was writing a letter to another church today, I feel like I could take this exact phrasing and I could replace the churches of Macedonia with saying central. I think I could say, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to central. To talk about your generosity, to talk about your faithfulness, to talk about your sacrifice. Look, we have come a long way. And some of you guys are new and maybe you don't know where we have come and so I want to talk about that a little bit today. In 2021, some of y'all weren't here, but in 2021, we had this moment as a church. I call it the Come to Jesus Sunday. And it was not like, hey, come down to the altar Sunday. It was like, we need to have a talk. You ever had those kind of talks with a family member, a kid or something? You're like, we need to sit down and this is a serious conversation. So we had this Come to Jesus Sunday and I was just brutally honest about like where we were at as a church and where things were at in our trajectory. And we needed a massive turnaround. And it was a tough conversation. I had my exit strategy, like to be able to run off the stage. When I finished the sermon, it was like I had leprosy, guys. And everybody just, no one talked to me. Everybody just left. I was like, okay, I'll see y'all next Sunday, I hope. And thank goodness most of y'all showed back up. But I showed this one slide that I want to show you guys again. Some of you guys are going to remember this. Some of y'all are maybe seeing it for the very first time. But here's the slide. It was 2020. We ended 2020, and these were just numbers. Now, numbers don't mean everything, but they do mean something. They kind of show a trend, and so we kind of just looked at the real numbers. We looked at the trajectory right there, and it was just kind of a sobering realization of where we were going as a church. And we talked about that we extrapolated that out, and I said this. I said, guys, if we don't do something different, we are shutting our doors in 17 years, okay? We have a plan to close our doors because this is where we're headed. And everybody's like, I'm all right, we're out. So everybody's like, I'm leaving. And so it was a tough moment, but we kind of thought about that as a church and said, we need to do some radical things for the Lord. And I just want to say, look where we're at now. Like God did this incredible turnaround in our lives. There's been hundreds of people baptized since then. Our congregation has been mobilized together. We have gone on dozens of mission trips to many different continents all over the world and locally. We're meeting needs in our community and sharing the gospel. We are more financially healthy than we've ever been. It's been amazing. But one of the things that I had talked about is that, look, we had actually lost in 10 years, we lost 36% of our church. Now, to put that in maybe a different kind of perspective, what we talked about is that we'd actually lost two average-sized Baptist churches in 10 years. Let me just say this. Since that point, we've gained three Baptist churches. That's what's happened here. God has done an incredible turnaround. In fact, our staff was like, Clayton, you need to make another chart. And I was like, you know how long it took me to make that? Like, I'm not doing another one. I'll just do that. Okay. How is that? Does that help? Like, but look, that's not about us. It's about God and God working through us, just like God was working through the church in Philippi. God has been so good to us, and we have seen so many lives change. It's not about numbers, but it truly is about people's lives being changed. And we've been working hard towards that goal. And the cool thing is we've been doing it together. And a lot of times churches, they aren't together in it. But I can truly say, I'm so thankful for the unity. It's one of our biggest prayers that God keeps us unified as a church. We're on mission together, and we're unified. And that's what was going on in the church in Philippi. If I go back to Philippians 1, go to the next verse. So in verses 3 and 4, he's talking about, I'm giving thanks to God for you. And he says, I give thanks to God. And verse 5 goes on and says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So I'm going to underline this. Your partnership in the gospel. This word partnership is really important. This word matters. Some of y'all's Bibles say maybe fellowship, but this isn't just about how we think about the word fellowship, like hanging out. In fact, before we changed how our bylaws and stuff, we used to have a fellowship committee. Anybody on the fellowship committee? Anybody? Okay. Faye was on the fellowship committee. Let's go. We had fun, man. We were doing stuff. We were hanging out. We would plan different events and different moments. Mainly it was cooking stuff, right? I mean, it was just mainly it was meals. I mean, that's what we do as a church. We always like to eat. And so that's what we're doing. But that's not what this is talking about. This is a different kind of fellowship or partnership. What it's talking about is this gospel-centered unity where Jesus, he holds us together, like a strong-knit crew. Another way to say this, based off of that verse, is this. Look, we're glued together by the good news. As a church, we are glued together. What makes us special isn't that you and I gather together. It's that we are glued together by the gospel. The gospel that Jesus is all about making sure that people get to hear and experience and see their lives change. The gospel that you and I can never save ourselves from our sins. It only comes through a sacrifice. And Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And when we trust in him, when we put our faith in him, the Bible says that you can be saved. That is the gospel that Jesus wants everyone to hear and everyone to experience. And it is the glue that is holding us together. You see, churches, what happens is churches seem and tend to fall apart because they lose sight of that mission. They get fixated on other things. I think about that spaceship, the Artemis spaceship. Can you imagine what would happen if they had lost sight of their focus and their mission and what they were going towards? They're going towards the moon. And it took some incredible amount of ingenuity for all of that to happen. If they had lost focus, it would have been a disaster. And I saw some cool like visualizations of it online where the moon's spinning around the Earth all the time, and they had to hit like a moving object, okay? It was crazy, and so they didn't just go directly towards the moon. They knew where the moon was headed, and they just shot out this way, and they met the moon at the exact perfect time. I mean, it was incredible what happened, but it all happened because they were focused on their mission. And churches have to be the same way. And so as a church, that's what we're doing. We're staying focused on our mission, and our mission is to see Jesus changing people's lives. That's all we always say, Jesus changes everything. Look, he can change your marriage. He can change your relationships. He can change your kids and what's going on in their life. He can change your finances. He can change your business. He can give you purpose. He can save you from your sins. Jesus truly can change everything. So what we've been doing as a church is we've been consistently keeping that in front of us and keeping that our focus. In fact, Paul goes on in the next verse and says, or in that same verse, he says, I give thanks to God because of your partnership in the gospel. And he finishes it by saying, from the first day until now. And what he was talking about is this track record that this church had. From day one, faithfulness marked that church. If you go to Acts chapter 16, you can hear about the church. You can kind of see the narrative of what happened. So Acts 16 is connected with the letter Philippians. And so in that, what happened is Paul and his crew, they were over in Asia area. They go across the ocean to what we call Europe. And so it was the first time they made it over there. They go to inland a couple miles to the city of Philippi. They meet this lady named Lydia next to a river. She's a Jew. They share the gospel with her. She gets saved. They go to Lydia's house. Lydia's entire family gets saved. And they start the church in her house. They're doing church on her couch. Okay, some of you guys have experienced a small little church, a house church like that, and that was the church of Philippi for several years. And God was growing that church. There's another story in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas, they are put in jail. And there's this crazy moment where this earthquake happens. The angel of the Lord shows up and all their chains fall off. The prison door opens and they have an opportunity to escape. And the jailer is in charge of all of that. And if he lets them escape, he's going to lose his life. And so they do not leave, even though they could have. They stayed because they cared for him, and it changed the jailer's life. He said, there's something different about you. Tell me what is different. They got to share the gospel. He gets saved. They go to his house. His entire family gets saved. They bring Paul and Silas over there. They get to have a meal together. And that family joined Lydia's family with other families. And they are that church from the very beginning and for several years until Paul writes this letter. And I was thinking about this. We have kind of a same kind of journey. Recently, we've had this journey of walking in faith and having these faith moments. In 2021, God began to stir our hearts as we were talking and looking at, hey, if something doesn't change, it's going to go bad for us. And so we just had this real come to Jesus moment. We began to pursue God in a special way. In 2022, we decided to begin to take some serious steps of faith. And where we're sitting at today and what we're getting to experience today is because of those steps of faith way back then. In 2023, we started Made for More. 2024, we were in construction. We were over in the venue. And 2025, we still continue to do all of those things. But here's the coolest thing. We continue to get healthier and healthier and grow. And God was blessing us over and over again. And ministry didn't stop during that time. And now Central is sitting in 2026, and I believe our best days are still ahead of us. I mean, it's so fun. It's just a cool time. Like, we need to stop and recognize what a great time it is to be a part of this church. But look, what God is building in this place isn't the result of just a few people back then. It's the result of the power of God working through all of us. We are all a part of this. In fact, Paul talks about it in other places. In 1 Corinthians, there's this moment where people are saying, who gets the credit for the growth of something? And here's what he says. He says, I planted, and Apollos, who was another leader, he says, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Paul, in that moment, says, look, it's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's about God. And let me just be really clear. God gets the glory for everything that has happened here. Every single thing. Not us at all. It's not about us. I say this all the time. I'll say it again. We're just nobodies trying to tell everybody about somebody. That's our life, okay? That's the purpose of our church. We're trying to tell everybody about Jesus, the one who gets the growth, the one who gave the growth, the one that gets all the glory. And let me just say this. He's not done yet, guys. He's not done. There's more for us to do. He has a plan, a next step for our church. Look, I don't believe that God would bring us this far for us just to stay here. I don't believe we've come this far just to say we've come this far and not continue in this journey. God is up to something in our church. So the question for us today is, are we ready for that? I want to invite you to do something this week. If you call Central Home, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to begin to think about and commit to taking some next steps in your faith. Here's a couple of simple two things I want to ask you to do this week. It's real simple. And in fact, this is a challenge for me as well. The first one is this. I want to invite you just to look back with gratitude. Guys, I'm the worst at that. I mean, I am like a pusher. I'm always like, next thing, let's go, let's move. And man, my staff has been awesome to help me to realize, Clayton, you need to slow down. They're honest with me. Like, we need to just thank God sometimes. In fact, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the people of God always took time when God was on the move to look back and say, God, thank you. Man, I want to have a heart of gratitude. And so we need to do that as a church. We need to look back with gratitude and look at what he's done. What he's done in you personally, what he's done in your family. Think about that over the last several years, guys. I believe God has worked in every single family here, providing for you in special ways, speaking into your heart, connecting you with the right people, and bringing you to a church that is not perfect. We are messed up beyond, you know, all things, right? We are not a perfect church. We need to be together. And God has brought you here for a reason. It's a time to step back and just say, Thank you, God, for what you've done. It's also a time for us to actually just stop and name the ways that God has been faithful. I think sometimes we just pretend like we process that. Have you ever like written all the ways down? Like that'll change your week. I promise. You're having a bad week, you start writing down all the ways that God has been faithful and shown up in your life and the people that you love. And you'll realize that God has not left you. He's got a plan and he's working his plan. Sometimes it's hard for us to see it, but it's a chance for us just to look back with gratitude and say, thank you, God. But here's something else I want you to do. I want to challenge you and encourage you to also not just look back, but to lean forward in prayer. And the reason I say lean forward is because I want you to begin to ask God, what is next for me? What is next for my family? What is next for this church? Yes, it is asking him, God, what do you want to do in my life? But it's also a time to ask God, what do you want to do through my life? And that takes it from you being the center of attention to other people, the people that God loves and wants to reach and change their lives. And God, how can I be your hands and feet? And you ask him, look, I want to have open ears. What does Jesus say over and over again when it's something really important that we need to pay attention to? You know what he says? He who has ears to hear, right? He who has ears to hear. And so you and I need to pray, God, give me ears to hear your voice and what you're calling me to do and how you're asking me to change and take next steps in my life. We need to pray for a ready heart. Say, God, you call me to move? You call me to do something? Give me obedience. Give me the heart of obedience to follow through with what you're calling me to do. Look, the story that God is writing in this church is not done. And we all have an opportunity to be in that next chapter. And that's a blessing. That's pretty cool. And I'm so excited for what God is going to do next. But here's the question. Are we ready for it? So I just want to invite you to begin praying this week to prepare yourself for that. In fact, I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer where we can go to the Lord right now and ask him to speak to us. So I invite you to bow your heads, and I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. We're going to sing a song, invitation song, where if anyone needs to trust in Jesus for the very first time, put your faith in him. We'll have a prayer team over underneath these crosses. They'd love to speak with you. You got to tell somebody when you give your life to Christ. It's an important next step. Share your faith from the very beginning. So let's go to the Lord right now. Let's pray. God, I pray specifically for anyone who's never put their faith in Jesus this morning. They're trying to earn their salvation. They're playing church. They're pretending like they truly know you and have given their life to you, but it's fake. And I pray, Lord, that today they can truly turn from their sin, ask for forgiveness, and receive the gift of salvation through a relationship with Jesus. Come into their life. Come into their spirit. Holy Spirit, take over their life and change them. Pray they would pray and ask you in the best way they know how to do that right now. Just simple words to trust in you. I pray for our church. God, you've been so good to us. We pause and we're with heavy hearts of gratitude, we just say thank you. You've been so good to us. Our thanks is a moment to worship you. So we do. We recognize you get all the glory. We may plant seeds, we may water those seeds, but you are the one who grows it all. So God, this is all yours. I pray, Lord, help us to see our next steps as a church and as a family, as families and as individuals. Help us to be attentive to the Spirit's leading this week, the next several weeks, as we as a church take a next step. God, we believe you're going to do something great. We're trusting you. We want to be your hands and feet. We want to be an outwardly focused church. We're praying for the people who aren't here yet. We're praying for the lives that you're going to change. God, we hope and we pray we can be a part of that. So help us to be obedient in how you're leading us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, church, I invite you to stand for just a minute. Stretch your legs. Come on, let's stand. And let's spend a moment worshiping the Lord in an attitude of gratitude for what he's done. And just praying and asking him, God, what do you have next for me? Again, if you'd like to talk with someone about a relationship with Christ, we'll have some people underneath the crosses over here. This is your opportunity to speak to someone, take your next step. Let's take a moment before we leave. Rylan's going to lead us. Let's do that right now. Thank you, church.